OgreCave.com. Tabletop gaming industry news updates with Alan Sugarbaker.
Here's a recording from KublaCon 2012, the Con of Cons, out in Burlingame, California, just south of San Francisco on Memorial Day weekend.
This is Alan Sugarbaker with OgreCave.com, and I'm sitting with Patrick Capera again from Crafty Games. And we want an update, first of all, on Mistborn. There's a lot of people looking forward to that.
Yeah, we actually just signed the proofs for Mistborn, all the editions, all the print editions, last week. So I sent all that stuff off to the printers. It's finally gone. We've worked out all the little logistics issues that we had with it, because it's an interesting product. It's coming in two print forms. There's a softbound form that is perfect bound, more traditional. It's still 6x9, very thick. The book actually wound up being 584 pages.
Whoa.
Which is partly because of 6x9, and partly because everything down to the leading and the font sizes in the book is set to match Brandon's novels. And novels are not known to be incredibly dense.
Sure, it's supposed to be readable and flow. Yeah.
Exactly. So you wind up with, when you get to rules and supporting text and GM advice and the huge amount of text that's required for Allomancy and Ferrochemy and Himalurgy, it takes up a lot of space and very, very quickly in that format,
right. Which
is why it sort of ballooned out to that size. So 584 pages in a perfect bound form and in a hardbound form, which is going to come with a stamped spine on fabric with a dust jacket, printed end sheets for the Ferrochemy table, which is all new. No one's seen it before. Although you can actually see snippets of it on our Facebook page. We posted pictures of the proofs there. And the Allomancy end sheet as well. So there's a different end sheet on either side of the book.
Okay.
So all that's been sent off, and we're just waiting to hear back from the printers now on when they think they can deliver them. Because this time of year, it's a big juggle. We work with a printer that works with lots of gaming companies, and so, of course, they have to juggle us and everybody else who wants to do something for con season. So,
sure, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as we have all that information out, we'll be posting it everywhere, anyone will listen. But we're just waiting on that information back, so...
Cool.
It'll definitely be with us at Gen Con, but I imagine we'll be shipping it out to pre-order people significantly before that. So.
Nice. Okay. And another reason it's taking up so much space, for those people that haven't seen the PDFs of early versions of it, is that the author of the series is including comments in why these things are this way at various stages.
Yeah, Brandon was really involved in the design. We did... The bulk of the heavy lifting initially, but he was great with coming into the draft as a gamer and just saying, well, I not only created the setting, but I have feelings about how I would run it. So he was able to actually say, I think these parts of the game would smooth out better if you did this, and offer feedback on a level that we're not used to from an author, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And we were able to translate a lot of that into actual sidebars in the book. So... through the first two, we have the book's broken into three what we call books. They're like mega chapters. Mm. And through the first two of those, you're getting from Brandon sidebars pretty regularly. A couple every 10 pages or so. It's quite a few. So, yeah, there's dozens of them throughout the entire book.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, so just fans of the series in general that don't necessarily intend to play might want to pick up the book just to read through it,
see
the insight from the author.
Brandon's great about this. He does a lot of blogging, and he does a lot of sort of live-ish chatting with his fans on the web. So people are used to him being open, and this is just another way that they can see his sort of editorial and personal process in a different venue and with a different type of material, which is really neat. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's working on the computer game by Little Orbit, so this isn't his only foray into gaming, but it is his first, so that's pretty interesting. And also that there's an original piece of fiction in the book that's never been seen anywhere before. It's about Kelsier and his what sets him on the path of finding the 11th metal, Meladium. So that's also exclusive to the book. So there's quite a lot of material that, between Brandon's input and the setting, is all very new.
Mm-hmm.
So I think fans of the setting, even if they're not interested in role-playing, will still find a lot of value in the book. And if they want to go in and build their own thieving crew, then everything they need is already pre-built. So.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, 500 some pages.
584, yeah.
584 pages. Big, thick, gnarly book. If people want to splurge and get the hardcover, how much do you expect that will cost?
We know how much it will cost. The softcover is $34.95, and the hardcover is $44.95. We're doing direct orders through our site where you can get it bundled with the digital edition, the PDF, for an extra $5.
Oh, cool. Okay.
PDF normally runs $15 on other venues. So. And obviously we'll have it available at Gen Con as well, so if you wanted to come by and check it out, pick it up there, you can.
Cool. Okay. And then you also pointed out something that's on the sign at your booth here that somehow escaped my attention, and it's kind of been in the background of your plans for a while. It's 10,000 bullets?
10,000 bullets, yeah. So there's a long and involved story with 10,000 bullets. It actually starts almost 10 years ago where Alex Flagg, my business partner, brought the setting to me as something that AEG might be able to publish for Spycraft. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of ridiculous reasons that had nothing to do with the setting, it just never happened.
Okay.
And so he wound up going to try and publish it with other third-party companies, and he went through company after company and situation after situation. And people who are creatives know the way this works. Things die on the vine for no apparent reason. And so this kept happening. It was like the project was cursed. And it's an awesome product, so... we always felt really, really bad for Alex trying to bring this to market. And so when we started Crafty Games, it was always our intent to bring it out eventually when we were in the right place. And then we started work on Spycraft 3rd, and it was a clear indication that this is the right time. So we're actually developing Spycraft 3rd Edition and 10,000 Bullets in tandem. So they'll be 100% fully compatible with each other. They're sort of our return to modern, which is what we're known for.
Right.
And where Spycraft is an espionage in all its forms type of game, 10,000 Bullets is street crime in all of its forms. So we like to call it the bastard love child of The Wire and GTA, because it's sort of half ultraviolent street opus sort of thing. And then on the other end, you've got this highly charged political inner workings of a city game, and it's all about the people on both sides of the law and how they're building their own empires for different purposes. Criminals, obviously, to get ahead, and police for their own purposes. Sometimes they're working for the with the angels and trying to take the criminals out, and sometimes not. You'll be able to play on both sides of the law, and it's going to include all sorts of material for your straight up detective versus like serial killer game, or your hard boiled SWAT guys against entrenched tenement gangsters style story like The Raid or something.
Yeah,
we're even going to go into some really other interesting venues that RPGs don't normally venture into, like court cases and political campaigns and things like that. Alex is really into how cities work, and instead of pulling them apart and figuring out where the narrative is there, and that's what this game is all about. So.
Cool. Okay. So I could immediately think of a dozen storylines to spin off of that whole setting. Yeah.
That's It'll come with its own, unlike Spycraft, it actually comes with a pre-built setting that's sort of inside and assumed, called Empire City.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be really interesting because it's a fully fleshed out city. It's top to bottom, not just any fictional city, but we've actually gone to the trouble of figuring out where would this thing fit in the real world in terms of its relations with neighboring cities, where is it located on the West Coast, all the little things. How does it, what does its economy function like? How does cash flow through the city?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of thought's been put into how to make that work.
Do they serve hot coffee there?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you've been getting back to modern because you've been doing Fantasy Craft like crazy for a while, and that's been going great for you. Is anything new coming for Fantasy Craft?
Yeah, we're working on Spellbound now. I know this thing's been going on forever. There are people probably at home rolling their eyes, and I'm with them because this product has actually been kind of an anchor around my neck for far too long. you get in these projects and you're in the middle of them, they're gigantic, and you're trying to find the way out, and it's like, really, come on, I just want it in people's hands. And Spellbound's right there. It's a massive product. It breaks the SRD, breaks and re-envisions the SRD's magic systems into 8 distinct schools and 24 disciplines, and introduces expert classes for each one of the schools and a bunch of variant classes to spin off of those for different things like ritualists and arcanists and whatnot. And it's sort of our take on what we think traditional Vancian magic should look like. So people who play Fantasy Craft know that we use a skill-based system, and there's a spell point resource for it. So all attack spells require attack checks, so you're not guaranteed to hit with your magic missiles, and your fireballs may deviate and take out something you don't want them to. And we're very much in the balance, so we think certain spells in D&D run very, very hot. And we think there are interesting narrative ways to change the way that they function a bit so that they're more interesting in play and more balanced. So we've done that. Sometimes we feel that spells might be better handled being merged together. So it's sort of a remixing and remastering of that. If you're familiar with Fantasy Craft and you know what the level of detail that we've gone into in terms of re-envisioning class structures and feats, and how skills operate, and adding action dice. That's the level of detail we're going into with magic and all the spells and how they work.
Oh, okay.
Right this moment, there are going to be 888 spells in the Grimoire. That's a specific number because every school gets a specific set of them, which is part of the balance structure of the book. Mm-hmm. And 166 remain to be written. So we're actually closing in on the end. Okay. And that's my part of the project. Alex is like 85-90% done with this with the classes. We've recently gone back to the drawing board with a couple of those, so to amp them up because we're never satisfied with just good enough.
Yeah.
And so he's finishing that off, and we've got some really great additional systems going to the game. Ritual magic for spellcasters working together to augment and change spells. That's being devised. That's relatively new, a relatively new addition to the book.
Mm-hmm.
That will be coming here very, very soon. I want to say it'll be at Gen Con. I can't in good conscience say it will be.
Okay.
It's one of those things where we're going to try. And if it's there, awesome.
Right.
If not, it won't miss it by much. So.
Now, when you say you're building all of this into the traditional Vancian magic system, for people that don't know, this is you memorize the spell, and then you fire it off, and you got to go re-memorize it.
Yes. Our take on Vancian magic is because it's not Vancian magic.
Okay.
There are actual rules for making our spell system work in a Vancian way.
Ah, okay.
But our game, those are optional. Our basic game is you can cast any spell you know at any time. Okay. As long as you can power it with the spell points at your disposal.
That's what I thought. That's where I was tripping up a little bit. I remember spell points somewhere.
The reason I say our take on Vancian is because when I say Vancian, most people are going to think, D&D.
Yeah.
The spells are the engine of all of this, and the spells are the principal fulcrum for how things are being remixed. So we have a fireball spell. In fact, we have a fireball chain. We have a lightning spell. We have a lightning chain. We have magic missile. We have polymorph spells, although they work a little bit differently in our game. All the things that you would expect, all the classic hits from D&D are there, plus a bunch of new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, we've got lots of options for using magic in different ways, and one of those ways is Vancian.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I clarified that. They got rid of the spell points.
I think so. No.
Some people would be upset at losing that functionality.
No.
Okay, great. And is there any other big project coming up? Anything you want to hint at? Or
Alloy of Law is the first supplement for Mistborn. Now, we're still a little ways away from that, far enough that people should not be looking for it on their shelves anytime soon.
Okay.
But I'm very excited about it because it's based on the 4th Mistborn novel. It's the setting that's 300 years after the core trilogy.
Steampunkish.
Steampunk westerns, essentially. Yeah. It is a fantastic role-playing backdrop. And that's one of the projects that's at the forefront right now. We have a new line developer for the game. And it's his main focus, is making sure Alloy is as cool as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that conversation is happening, and I'm hopeful that we're going to start seeing real material for it very soon. We're in that phase right now where you're almost afraid to write something because you know things are changing just fast enough. Mm-hmm. If you write something, it's going to shift. But there's always a point in every project where that turns.
Things begin to stick a little bit better.
And things stick, yeah. And we're very, very close to that point. Right now, it's the very end of the blue sky process with that project. So that one I'm very excited about. We have cover mock-ups, and they're gorgeous. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful book. It'll also be digest size, just like the old one, like the first book. So it'll go in the same library. And we have a series of PDFs in the works for Mistborn as well. We're not quite announcing all of those yet. We are talking about what they're going to be, but we're not sure what order they're going to hit in. And that has a lot to do with how each one progresses.
Right.
They're not racing to the finish line or anything. Just some of them are going to develop more quickly and more naturally than others. And those will wind up being the first ones out. There are going to be some for cities. There are going to be some for different species in the game, like the Chondra and whatnot, and how they interact in the society, and different stratas. We'll have a nobility product and a ska product. And, of course, a bunch of adventures. That's one of those game settings that really kind of needs to have starter stories for people. So.
Yeah, any slightly unfamiliar shift in the genre, people need some examples to kind of get rolling. Yeah.
Yep. And, of course, Spycraft 3rd, which is coming next year. It's out of Blue Sky. We're in active development. We've been there for a while. It's fantastic. It's a real departure for us in a lot of ways, and also sort of a return, because it's closer to classic Spycraft than it is 2.0. Mm-hmm. It's a return to espionage as opposed to open-ended modern. It'll be a little bit sandboxy in that it's all over the place in terms of what you can do with espionage, but it's still creating a box that's easier to use in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the system is being overhauled a bit to deal with a lot of things that people have said that they love and wish were better in both Spycraft 2.0 and Fantasycraft. So it's sort of the next evolution of the Mastercraft system.
Cool, great. Sounds like you've got a lot going on people should be watching for later this year.
Well, not all of that's coming later this year, of it is. Mistborn, Spellbound, Mistborn. You can count on those things this year. Spycraft 3rd, 10,000 Bullets, 2013.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks a lot for chatting with Patrick, and hopefully we'll see you pretty soon.
Thanks.
Be sure to visit ogrecave.com for more podcast interviews, and see our KublaCon photo gallery on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ogrecave.
That's the news this time. Come by ogrecave.com for the complete Ogre Cave audio report and plenty more news.